Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour is live. We appreciate you being here. We've already been to Knoxville. We have a lot of other visits along the way as we get you ready for the season. We're live from Fayetteville. I'm in. Who's up next? Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
First off, a big shout out to Ranger and Robert in Knoxville. Man, what a beautiful first day of September it is. How about this? War Vols. War them Georgia Dogs. War damn Eagles. You know what, Paul? For mankind's sake, you ought to eat a Snicker bar a couple times a week. Maybe one on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, something like that. Just for mankind. For mankind's sake, because this is considered.
I mean, can you give me a better suggestion? I mean, is there something about Snickers I don't like? I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, just consider this. If Jim from Tuscaloosa is halfway right, you know, we may result to cannibalism, the ones that are left, of course. And I'm sure you and I'll be left out of Jim's group. And you know what? If we resort to cannibalism, hell, you won't even make good hors d'oeuvres. You might be lucky to make a pair of shoes out of your skin.
So
for mankind, a couple Snicker bars.
I mean, what's your favorite candy bar?
Snickers.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna have to sample a few more.
I mean, you get one of them little Halloween packs with the little short ones in there, the little small bites. Yeah, but for mankind, you need to eat a couple a week because you never can tell when we're gonna need you. Oh, yeah. Have a great day.
Hi, man. Dropping some big knowledge on us here today. Dwayne is up next. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Dwayne, we are doing great. Thank you.
That's awesome, man. I wanted to talk about Desmond Howard, but I want to say something real quick. Earlier this week, you said Legend should go on tour, and I'm going to tell you, I would pay to see Legend. He is hilarious. I love him. I guess it's because I'm a Bama fan. But did you hear Desmond Howard this morning?
I'm sorry I missed it.
He picked Mississippi State, Baylor, and, I don't even remember who the other two was. I mean, not Mississippi State. I'm sorry. Texas A&M. They remind me of each other. Texas A&M and Baylor to be in the playoffs and Texas A&M to win it all. What do you think about that?
Well, Dwayne, I'll try to be as gentle here as I can. I don't really much care what he predicts, or he does. He's not somebody that I'm leaning heavily on for my football knowledge. So he's entitled to that opinion. I don't even want to waste any breath on it.
Okay, well, I apologize. Roll Tide, I love your show. You're doing great, man. Fayetteville's a beautiful city. Austin's a junk town. Thank you.
Good to hear. And by the way, I've heard that. He apparently said it the other day, and I think I would be the last person in America to criticize somebody's opinion on football, since I give a lot of opinions that people think are stupid. I'm more curious what he believes, why he believes that, why he thinks Texas A&M is going to win it all. I think they'll have a really good season, but there's a difference between having a good season, and then there's a difference between just saying something because it's outrageous and it gets you noticed and it gets your career resuscitated. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
Paul, that sounds like half of the politicians in America. What do you think?
I think about 90% of the politicians.
You're right there. Hey, Paul, I want to talk about Kirk Herbstreit. for a minute and his problem. That's what's almost taken my life twice is blood clots. I had them in my lungs and my heart and my legs after tearing my ACL. And I wish him nothing but the best of luck because mine have come back a couple of times, even being on blood thinners. I mean, there's been a couple of times they gave me about 2 hours to live and they almost took my leg. But by the grace of God, I'm still here. And I'm bringing that up because I just got back from the doctor and got a great checkup today. So Kirk needs to take care of himself. Them blood clots, especially in your lungs, are nothing to play with. But Paul, you had a guy the other day, about a couple of days ago, and he said he was a former producer, I believe. And he brought out – he didn't like your callers, and he mentioned legend. But, Paul, I want to tell you something. That's the reason that guy's a former producer. Because, Paul, your show allows everybody from around the country to give their point of views, whether we agree on it or not. And I'm going to give you a perfect example of why your show, and I think it's become one of the greatest in the whole nation. During COVID, when we had nothing to talk about, you allowed people who had to sit at their home and voice their opinions. And a lot of them I didn't agree with. But I got to know people from around the country and how they felt about things, about certain things. So it, your show really opened my eyes to a lot of things and different opinions from people. So I guess what I'm saying, your callers, especially people like Legend and Joe and even Jim when he was great, nah, man, they're your show, Paul. And I think that's the reason why that guy is a former producer telling one of the top talk show hosts in the nation he needs to get rid of some of his callers. What do you think about that, Paul? Because I'm going to tell you, when I was in the hospital, I don't know what I'd do without your show and your callers. They kept me – I mean, I was told I was on my deathbed, so they kept me going. And I told you I had to watch your show on my phone. So that's how much your show means to people around this country. It's just a voice. With everything going on, when people are allowed to just give their opinion and their voice, it means the world to people. And I can't thank you enough for that. And I'm sure most of your callers feel the same way. So I hope you have a great weekend and roll tide. And let's get this thing started, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Trey. You continue to show improvement. Thanks for your call. Let's check in with Jerry next in Tennessee. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing, man?
We're doing great.
Go Vols.
You bet.
Hey, I appreciate you giving that shout out that vid. I'm lit myself. I know what that means to people, man. And like that caller said, you do more than you realize. You put on a great show. I wish you was a little bit more orange in your life, but everybody's got a choice.
Well, you know, I think I used to try too hard when I was in Alabama early on. The Alabama people used to accuse me of being a Tennessee spy, and I think I worked so hard to try to prove them wrong that I've overdone it.
There you are. Yeah, I go back to Bill Battle days, Andridge Holloway. That's how old I am. My stepfather used to turn the radio on because, you know, TV didn't have many stations back in, but you always heard John Ward trying to describe the Artful Dodger. You know,
no, yeah,
I just
listen,
appreciate you, man.
Jerry, thank you very much for saying that. And I particularly enjoy when we hear from veterans. And, you know, maybe because I am your age, I remember that time when people did not show the proper respect to those who were coming back. And today they do, for the most part. The world has changed many, many times since that period, but I'm glad to hear from so many of you. We'll take a short break. We have a lot to do on this busy Thursday, getting you ready for a kickoff just 3 hours away. We'll come right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Seth is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Seth. Seth, you there? Oh, Seth, how about Mickey? Mickey, you are on the air.
Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Paul, I was listening earlier. I don't have a Snickers bar handy, nor do I have a liberal arts education. But
smart.
I do have a couple of opinions I would like to share.
Of course.
The first one is one of the perhaps the gruesome unintended consequence of NIL. I was reading an article this morning off the AP wire written by a fellow named Dave Scretta. And he mentioned some of the vehicles these people are driving. Will Anderson's got a Porsche. C.J. Stroud swaps every 45 days with a high-end auto gallery for his ride. And Bijan Robinson's driving a Lamborghini. Now, Paul, any woman or neurologist can tell you that young males tend to lose their sense of reason at about age 15, and they don't get it back, sometimes ever, but certainly not by the time they're 20. These guys can barely drive Fords and Chevrolets. How are they going to handle these high-end sports cars? I mean, I think we're eventually going to hear about one of them killing themselves or somebody else at 120 miles an hour.
Yeah, I know. I hear where you're coming from, and you know, I'm a different type of person as you probably are. I just want a car that doesn't give me any problems because I've had one that does. I
drive an F-150.
Yeah, to me, the better ones, like Will Anderson, are probably going to be driving those cars pretty soon anyway.
We had
Roman Harper in here the other day, and he said he went out and spent $110,000 on his first car, which I know sounds incredible, and it is incredible. But cars nowadays, if you want to get something high end, you'll spend a fortune to get one. Maybe I'm just cheap. I've always had a hard time spending a lot of money on something that really doesn't have any value.
I'm not as concerned about the cost as the fact that I'm not sure a 20-year-old college student can handle a Lamborghini. I mean, those things are, yeah. I'd be afraid to drive one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I would never want to either. But I think athletes are different. They really don't have a lot of fear, and I hope the two of us are proven wrong that they can handle it, and I trust that.
Well,
ultimately,
I preface my comments.
Yeah, I mean, a guy like Will Anderson, though, and I'm just only using him as the example. I know him a little bit, and he seems very responsible and reasonable. But it doesn't take much. I mean, look what happened to one of his former teammates, who's now going through a lot of legal issues out in Las Vegas. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Brylan is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Brylan. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. Just want to tell you, it's game day, and I'm really excited. I'm also going to change my mind on that 12-0 season. I think we're going to go 10-2 realistically.
Okay, so, Brylan, you're the young guy. I remember talking to you, what, 10, 12, something like that?
14.
14. Only missed by 4 years, which is about 40% of your life. Brylan, so take me through the rest of your day. How are you going to consume the 14-year-old, consume this game? You're going to be home? You're going to the game? What are you doing?
I'm going to be home, but I'm going to be watching closely, but I'm also going to have my eyes on that Pittsburgh versus West Virginia game. I want to see how Pitt is for week two.
Yeah, you know, that's a real – Tennessee fans have a dilemma tonight because they should win their game easily, and as you have heard before, the Pitt game is very likely one of the most important games of the year. It will help set the tone, especially if Tennessee can get up there and get a win. So will you just be bouncing back and forth? Is that how you'll do it?
Yeah.
Now, the key, you've already learned this, Brylan, even at 14, the most important thing in any household is the person that controls the remote control.
Yeah, that's my dad.
Yeah, no, I don't ask for much at home, but I want that remote control near me at all times, especially during football season. Hey, you have a good time tonight with your family and watch the game. We'll talk to you tomorrow about it. Let's check in with Chris, who is up next. Hey, Chris, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, this is Chris up in East Tennessee. I got two things to talk about just briefly. I'm going to mention the game tonight. I'm looking forward to it, too. I'm not a huge Tennessee fan, even though I do live in Tennessee country for sure. I think the fans up here are cautiously optimistic about what they have as far as a coach. I think they're kind of like Alabama fans were back in the 90s and late 90s, I guess, or early 2000s. They've been through some pretty rough times, and they're not sure what they've got just yet. But we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. Hope they do well. But the main reason I called is I picked up a piece of old Alabama memorabilia here locally at an auction this week. And I can't find anything on it. I figured if anybody knew something about it, you probably would. It's an album recorded in 1968, and the title of it is called Here Come the Bear. And it's by Jay Higginbotham. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not. I wasn't. I'm still not, really. But apparently it's recorded in Nashville, and on the back it describes a lot of the features of the album. It's a full-size vinyl album. It's got some interviews with Bear from about the 1967 season and the upcoming 68 season. And it's got some really unique descriptions of what's going to happen in 1968 and what Auburn's doing down on the plains, trying to say, here come, wait till next year and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just not familiar. I've never run across it before or anything.
Chris, I'll let it sit out there for a minute. I didn't get to Alabama till for 12 years after that. So I have not ever seen it. I know there were a lot of records that came out about Bryant as he closed his career and some songs. But I am not familiar with it either. But I'm sure one of our many, many viewers or listeners in Alabama can call in or let me know, and I'll see what I can do for you. Hey, thanks for bringing it to our attention. Ryan is in Virginia. Hey, Ryan. Ryan, you there? Ryan did not answer the bell. Charlie is in Virginia, too. Hello, Charlie.
How are you, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. I'm a second-time caller, and I'm working on a project called What Makes Great Teachers Great. And I'm interviewing people who have done well. And I asked them, from your kindergarten through your terminal degree, which was your best professor or best teacher you ever had, and how did he or she influence you? That's from kindergarten,
Charlie,
to your terminal degree.
I can answer that question. I had a couple of really great teachers along the way. My best, the one I had the most enjoyable time was in college, and it's unique. It was a constitutional law class, which has always been one of my favorite subjects. So I think therein lies the interest in the course. But the teacher was unique because the teacher was blind. And it was one of the most fascinating experiences. His name was Dr. Stevens. And he would walk in every day with a German Shepherd, a seeing eye dog. And I've never worked harder in a class. If I had worked that hard in everything else, I would I would have won the Nobel Prize. But I was just so determined to please him, and because I just had so much admiration for what he was doing. And now that's maybe not sound as you know, there's so many people work with so many disabilities and obstacles. But at the time I was 19 or 20 years old, it had just a profound impact on me.
Otis Stevens, I rode up many times the elevator at McClung Tower with him.
Oh, did you really? That's amazing.
Yes, I did my PhD at UC.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know him that way. Can you tell me? I know he went to Harvard. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
But I don't remember much else. I mean, it's been a couple of years, to say the least.
I got my PhD in history, so I did not have him. But he was famous. He was highly regarded by the administration as one of their better faculty members. And teachers had the ability to affect people positively or negatively. And I think he's one that had a positive influence. And I have found that the great teachers they love their subject, and it's obvious, and they're very demanding. And you just indicated that his class was, you really paid attention and did
Charlie,
the work that he's required.
I mean, I'll tell you one more thing. It was a undergraduate class, obviously.
Yeah.
But I would find myself going to the law library every night, going through casework. I didn't have to do that, but I wanted to. And yes,
yeah.
I did get an A in that class because nothing was going to stop me from getting that grade. And I didn't. I mean, I was a good. I mean, I wish I had applied myself to some other things with that fervor. But did you go on to teach? I'm assuming you did.
Well, I went into the museum field. I was
okay.
For 20 years director of the Virginia Historical Society. But I'll tell you who my most influential was.
Please.
Milton Klein in the history department. He was demanding. He was
right.
A great teacher, and I owe him a lot. I don't know if you ever had him.
Yeah, no, I took a lot of history. I mean, it's always been my favorite subject. But that is so interesting. We need to continue this conversation. What are you doing with this project, if I may ask?
Well, I've written an article in the Richmond. I've been writing columns for the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Right.
And I wrote one on this, and I'm still continuing. I'm trying to find people who have been successful, like Sandra Day O'Connor I've talked to. And it's interesting. Every one of them says a teacher profoundly affected them and had a great influence on them. So many people said they had history courses that were so bad. I don't know if you knew this, but half of the history teachers in America had the same first name in the 1950s and 60s. You know what it was?
No, what was it?
Coach.
Oh, no, you're right. I remember in seventh or eighth grade, my history teacher was the football coach, which I can assure you was not the best way to learn history.
No, it wasn't. My coach who taught world history kept calling it the Crimean War, and finally I said, Coach, it's pronounced the Crimean War, and he didn't appreciate my correcting him.
Well, I tell you the subject I studied the most in college and I learned the least was I ended up getting into ancient Mediterranean classics, and 40 years later, I'm still trying to figure out who won the Peloponnesian War. Anyway, well, let's continue this. I'd love to have a conversation about it. We're up against a break. I could have talked to that gentleman all day, but we're about to head north to get you ready for tonight. We're coming right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
He wouldn't keep coaching.
And we'll get you ready for the game. The Tennessee game's at 7. SEC Now will help you prepare for that. And one of our, our next guests will be part of that. And all be here all night and, of course, all Saturday.
I'm paying rent. I've decided to bring my knapsack and everything in, Paul.
So I mean, you've done a little bit of this SEC Network stuff, but I mean, you've landed.
Yeah, I'm baptized in the SEC funk. I think that's the best way
to
say it.
So what have you learned? Because there is a learning curve for a guy that has said some of the crazy things that you have said in public.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about in the huddle. or on the field. So did they tell you when you're on this network what you can and can't say, or do you just say I'm going to say whatever I want?
They say whatever you want, but just keep in mind this is a family orientated show.
Right, and we're federally licensed.
Yeah, so be governed by that.
Because I mean, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, the famous 30 for 30 Roll Tide War Eagle.
Can I say it on here right now?
You're on there with, I mean, I felt like it was about me because I was the storyteller behind it, but nobody remembered that I was even on there.
But I did, and you did a marvelous job.
But they all remembered one thing you said.
War. Effing Eagle. Abbreviated version.
Now, how did that come about?
You know, we were sitting down, and they was just like, well, what is War Eagle? Well, I thought you guys was an Auburn Tiger. And I was like, hey, let me reel you back in here. Settle down. War Eagle is the battle cry. And then they kept talking back and forth, me and the producers. And so they was like, well, how do you say it with conviction? Like this? And I was like, no, you say it like this. War Eagle. And that was the birth of WFE.
Wow. After that, did you know, I mean, did they, because good producers act like you didn't say anything. They don't want to, the bad ones are jumping up and down and high-fiving.
You know what, though? When I said it, the producers, they gave me the look and they were like, oh, my God, I feel like he's about to bite my head off. And so I was like, settle down.
Did you have to say it again?
And I said it again. I said it two more times. And that's when I saw the look from the first time I really saw the look of a producer when they saw gold. They was like, oh, yeah. That's it. We don't want you to do it no more. That's it. And so it was months later when it came out and I actually saw it. And I was like, my mama, she was looking at it too. And she was like, boy, look at you. You on TV acting like a fool.
Your mother said that.
Yes, she did. She keeps it real, though, but she knows I'm entertaining, and I tell her, I get it from her. So if I was on TV acting like a fool, I got it from you, Ma.
That's amazing. I mean, what was the reaction? Because, I mean, it was on ESPN. You were still playing, I believe.
Yep.
And I would think it came up a few times.
Yeah, the reaction was, I walked inside of the locker room. I was in San Francisco, I think. And when I walked inside of the locker room, everybody was saying it. Everybody. Even one running back, Glenn Coffey, played at Bama, you know, so it was like the theme and everything. And I went to San Diego, Phillip Rivers, he's a native of Alabama.
Athens, Alabama.
So it was one of those things that just really caught on and everybody was asking. So tell me, like, I thought the mascot was a tiger, but now I see this eagle flying around the stadium. And I was like, look, guys, listen. You would have had to just go there. I can't give you all the history lessons. So if you have a kid, make sure you send your kids. I told Philip that. He has about 10 kids. So I told him to send his kids there. He's a high school coach doing very well.
He really is.
Yeah. Shout out to Phillip.
Or Blanken Eagle. Wow. No matter what you've done, multiple times all pro, all American, all everything. That's part of the first paragraph about your life.
It is, man. And when I look at Auburn now, you know, can we just even talk about Auburn? Like,
why don't we?
Yeah, well, I think we should. How do you think they're going to do against Mercer?
I like their chances.
Me too. To say at the least.
We had Harsin on here yesterday, and I mean, I think he's managing as best as he can. Now, when they pull the rug out from under you and fire your AD before your first game or your second year, you're a grown up. You can figure it out.
Yeah, you can figure it out. And you know, I had some time. I spent a little time around the program, around all of the guys, and had a chance to see. You know, like coaches can say anything. Oh, the guys are buying in. But I was proud to see guys really bought into the program, and they bought into the message. They're bought into everything. TJ Finley was named the starting quarterback. And just seeing those guys practice, they practice with intention. And that was a good thing to see. They practice with a lot of, courage from the aspect of asking questions of, okay, coach, if we get this, how can we combat that? Well, if this quarterback likes to do this, and I saw TJ taking charge. At that time, he wasn't even named the starting quarterback, but you could see the capability. You could see the qualities that he possessed. So I just hope it translates over. You know, I don't know, when you look at Auburn's football team depth-wise, you have to ask the question, can they continue to go through an entire season? And you never want anybody to get hurt. But in the event somebody comes out because they're winded, is the drop-off that bad? And knowing that's the main question that I have. But from what I saw just from the short, brief time that I was there, I like how they were moving around. I like the attention of the student athletes that they were giving the coaches. So I'm excited to see what they put out on the field coming up in the next few days.
Takiya, obviously, you've been to Auburn a number of times. You're now getting a chance to see other programs. But when you go back there now, you've had a brilliant career. Now you're in television, which a lot of young people are seeing you. What is that like? Because you know you're no longer just an observer or one of the guys. I mean, you're a role model to a lot of young people.
Yeah, it's like, bro, I don't even think I'm 45 years old. And I say that because my daughter, she goes to Auburn right now. She's a junior. And I see people when they come up to me, even when I'm with her, and they say, Mr. Spikes, you know, I'm juvial. You know what I mean?
You're
like,
mister
juvial.
Now.
Like, I'm a mister now. I still consider myself as, I just left a few years ago. So, but it's humbling. The reason why it's humbling is because you must have done something right if people still acknowledge you and still tell you, oh my God, you still look the same. I'm like, yeah, you know, I appreciate that. I do a lot. It's the skincare, what I do at night to take care of all of this good looking stuff, Paul. You gave me your remedy too, so I appreciate the treatments. Thank you, and I will not share. The game is to be sold, not to be told.
We're talking to Takiya Spikes about the upcoming football season, which starts in a couple of weeks, apparently, based on what people are hearing from us. But when I get with you, I can't go down the laundry list of game after game. I know you'll do that later. I just want to know what you've been up to. And that's so interesting when you're called Mr., you have a daughter. I mean, these are I remember when Takiya got to her Auburn. If you had said, is that guy ever going to be called Mr. Spikes and be a role model, I would have probably taken the under on that. I mean, you were crazy.
Paul, you would have took the under on it?
Yeah, I didn't see it. I mean, I mean, you were exactly what you had to be successful. You were
absolutely
a reckless guy coming in from high school who was going to take names.
Oh, we had to. I was taught that. Like, you take names and you kick ass after that. And that was the mentality that I took, even going into the pros. And even now, I give you a great little short story. This morning, I woke up at 4:45. I was ready. I knew I was coming on your show today. I love talking ball. I can't talk ball enough, period. But I had to remind myself, listen here, Spikes. Take your butt back to sleep because you're going to burn out before your show at 7 o'clock tonight. So, you know, so I have to keep it in perspective and everything. And you know what? One other thing, too, I want to address. I remember, I never told this story. I've been saving it for this show. When I first got to Auburn, they were like, don't read press clippings. You're not that good. And I'm like, well, I was the number two linebacker in the nation, so you're telling me I'm not good, but you wanted me. I don't care. Don't you read anything. Don't even listen to Paul Feinbaum. He's a hater. And I was like, who is this guy, Paul Feinbaum? And so me and one of my roommates, Ryan Taylor, Jason Bray, we turned on the radio and we heard it. And I was like, this guy is killing Auburn. And it was almost like you took an 18-wheeler, drove over to Auburn Tigers, put it in reverse, came back, and then you brought out a bouquet of daisies and gave it to Alabama. I didn't appreciate that, Paul, and I just want to let you know this 20-plus years later.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. You know, I have so many reactions because people can think whatever they want about me now. I'm a pussycat. I mean, I was a killer back then like you were when you got to Auburn. Now
yes,
I'm just
you
a
were.
Nice guy. Who's
He's nice now. People, trust me. He was totally, well, he's still somewhat of the same. But you used to put that 18-wheeler and drive in reverse, too.
And Auburn was a good target, especially when you were there.
It was always the target.
But I never told the entire truth about your career at Auburn. I'm saving that for a book. Takeo, great to see you. We'll see you tonight
Thanks,
in a couple
Paul.
Hours. It's always amazing to see you. We'll be right back. Much more. We'll take a few more trips to the phones and more of guests as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are off and running here. Great interview with Takeo. He is always entertaining. You'll see plenty of him tonight and this weekend. Stu is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Stu.
Paul, what's up, baby? Last time I called you, it was my 16th wedding day anniversary. Well, guess what? I'm calling you again on my 17th wedding anniversary, me and Crimson.
You know, Stu, if everyone was as excited as you are on their wedding anniversary, we'd have a much better country.
That is true, baby. Look, she even brought a book she was reading, and it goes along with the thing I was going to tell you about, I was going to talk about. The guy was talking about the Lamborghinis and the players, you know, and they can't handle driving those cars at a young age. That's not what they should be worried about. As the years go on, Paul, you're going to see teammates that aren't getting that share, that cut, and they're going to be a little jealous. And you're not going to have so much of a team unity when you got somebody rolling up in the parking lot for practice in a Lambo or a Rolex on their wrist. You think about lack of team unity because of jealousy, as some are getting it and some aren't. And so Crimson's been reading her social psychology book, and that is a piece of social psychology.
Well, Stu, I hope you will continue to call in on your winning anniversary. So today is 17, right?
Yes, sir. Go Dawgs! Sick 'em!
Wow, what a lucky bride he has. A husband that barks. Ryan is in Virginia. Hello, Ryan.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, man, I'm just want to talk about the game tonight.
Yes, sir.
I think we're going to beat Ball State by 5 touchdowns.
That's 35 points.
Our offense is pretty nasty this year, I think, and we added some depth on defense. I think our overall record will be 10-2 this year.
It's possible. I'm thinking more 9-3, but if this offense is as good, all the defense has to do, according to what Tom Hart told us an hour ago, is just be a little bit better.
Yeah, I'll live with 9-3. That's improvement.
It's three games improvement. That's pretty significant. It's hard to improve by three games. Hey, anyway, thank you for the call. The Tennessee game is, let's see, it's 5 o'clock, right? 2 hours away. We are knocking on the door. So if you're a Tennessee fan, you are literally heading to the stadium or walking in the stadium. Lewis Riddick will join us in a minute. He's part of the Backyard Brawl in Pittsburgh.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.